From the Land de Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of January, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. A bit later in the program, we'll look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility. That's in Logansport, Indiana. Then as we close out our program, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Along the way, Dave Dickey will have an update of the agricultural news, too. Right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, it comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Country Financial. Country Financial is hosting farm information sessions throughout Illinois from December to March. Topics include updates to the federal crop insurance program, the farm bill, and how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. Registration information is on their crop update website at countrycrop.com/update.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. For Wednesday afternoon, nearby March wheat at $5.88¾, down 13¾ today. July futures $5.98½, down 13. In the soft red, the hard red winter at $6.34¾, down a dime. March corn futures down 9 cents at $4.17. May at $4.25¼, down 8½. And July at $4.32½, down 8. September corn, $4.39, down 7¾. December at $4.46. That's the new crop, down 7¼. March corn of 2015 at $4.55¾ a bushel. That's down 7¼. January beans at $13.75 up a penny and a quarter. The March down 6¾ at $12.69¼. May futures lower as well, $12.50½. The final trade down 8¼. And July soybeans at $12.37 a bushel, down 10½. September at 11.44½, down 13½, and November beans at $11.04, down 12¾. January at 2015 at $11.10½, that's down 12¾. Bean meal at $4.30.60, down $4. Bean oil at $37.43. down 27 cents for the day. Live cattle futures at the CME Group finished the February at 136.65, 12½ cents higher. April futures at 136.97½. up 62½. January futures at 168.47½, up 42½. And the March futures at 168.55, up 72½ cents. Lean hogs at $85.57½, finished a nickel higher on the afternoon. Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. Does come to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. It's public radio for the farming world. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the afternoon are trading $92.46 a barrel, down $1.21. February gasoline in the RBOB, a penny and 8 cents lower at $2.65¹. And ethanol futures at $1.91¾, up three and rather down 0.3 cents. The spread between those two is now 74¾ cents wide. That's a penny and 2 cents wider than it was yesterday afternoon. Natural gas at $4.21¹, down 0.8 cents. And diesel fuel at $2.95¾ a gallon. That's just about 0.5 cents lower. Gold futures at $1,225.50 an ounce, down $4.10 for the day as their settlement price. And the U.S. dollar at 81.02. That's down 0.18 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We should see a 30% chance of snowfall. It will be cloudy this afternoon, a high of 21 degrees. North wind at 3 to 5 miles an hour. Tonight, a 20% chance of snow, cloudy and a low of 14, wind chill values between 5 and 10. That's above zero. East-northeast winds at 6 miles an hour. And then tomorrow, 40% chance of snowfall, cloudy and a high of 31 degrees, a wind chill value between 5 and 15. Thursday evening, a chance of flurries, some freezing drizzle, cloudy and a low of 27. Winds out of the south at 9 miles an hour. And by the time we get to Friday, a 50% chance of rain afternoon. Cloudy with a high of 37 degrees, breezy, a southeast wind at 8 to 13, increasing to 16 to 21. Friday night, rain likely, cloudy, and a low of 35 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated. He's in Kansas City.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, this is the closing market report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line is Jackie Vakes. It's Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. Thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Ted.
Well, the marketplace decided before our big Friday event, the annual USDA crop production number, that's the final one for the year, is due out at 11 o'clock, along with the grain stocks report, and markets are lower today. What happened?
Boy, they are ugly, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start out in an unusual place. I'm going to go wheat, because wheat was the biggest loser of the day. And, you know, I think it's coming primarily out of the fact that we have less concern over winter kill. We've got the extremely cold weather at the moment, anyway, behind us, higher U.S. dollar. Still a big sting from the Egypt buying from everywhere else except here last week. And, you know, when we look at acreage, they're thinking 400,000 more acres in the KC and the Chicago alone. So it's just not a pretty sight at the moment. And yet, there are two bright spots. One, traditional funds are record short in wheat at this point in time. And the stocks number actually looks to come in, if it does, at the average guess, about 300 million bushels lower than it was a year ago. So, you know, that maybe that'll give wheat a bottom. That would be a really nice situation. Now, corn, on the other hand, boy, I'm very shocked, to be honest with you, that we're down as much as we are today, although, you know, we put in new lows for every month.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a reflection, of course, that the trade perspective is that the report's going to be negative. And what would be negative about it? Well, they're probably thinking that we're going to have a larger carryout than what the estimate is. You know, the estimate is in that 1.844 area, and that's figuring a little over a 14 billion bushel crop. Well, if we would come in at the 14.2, where Informer's guesses came out, that, of course, would push us higher, and that would not be a good thing. And then, of course, grain stocks are at this point in time estimated to be about 2.8 billion higher than they were last year. That doesn't help anything. You know, the markets really are all about perception more than they are anything else until we have some proof. So until Friday, it's not going to be fun. We had March, to me, looks, you know, we closed at 417, looks like we're going to head to 410 area. And DEIS 14, I was very disappointed because it broke that 445 and three-quarter low that December 13 put in last August. And, you know, once we broke that DEIS 13 low, we dropped all the way down to 410 on DEIS 13 corn. So, you know, this doesn't bode well for new crop corn if, indeed, we do come in with higher numbers on Friday. Kind of wondering today where the index funds were. They were supposed to be rebalancing today. I think we're a little out of balance here on the corn side of things. But Monsanto came out today with some interesting information. They say that their corn sales are down 7%, about $1.05 billion for the year so far. That would say that they do about $15 billion a year in corn. And up 16% on beans, $267 million, that's 1.67. Now, I talked to a number of clients about this, and they would argue that Monsanto is down on sales primarily because their corn is a lot higher priced than anybody else's, and everybody's looking at the bottom line now that prices have really dropped. And so whether that's true or not, it does indicate that maybe that there's a little bit more truth to the idea that we may see some more bean acres come. Now, you looked at beans today, old crop looked pretty good. You know, it settled up a penny and a quarter. I think that's just a reflection of the fact that, and I'm in agreement with this, that we'll probably hold the 150 million bushel carryout. I think any additional beans will be eaten up primarily by exports and an increase in exports. But their stocks guess is at 2.16. Now, that could be a kicker because last year we were at 1.96. So we'll see once what happens there. But I was glad to see November held above the $11 low. But because when you look at it, if we close below that $11 level, Todd, 1073 then comes right into play because that would be the 100% retracement of the Fibonacci low in April, which was $11.98.5, and the high of June, $13. So not painting a real pretty picture for new crop beans. And, you know, South America is just, they're sure having a good time down there. I can tell you that much.
Well, what kinds of things have they been up to? You've got some notes for me before we started the show, and I was reading through some of them. Brazil's changing all kinds of things.
They certainly are. You know, the South America in general is making a lot of changes. You know, when you look at Brazil, we'll start with Brazil. They're changing their principal highways to toll roads. In fact, they expect by the end of next year, every highway will be a toll road that is paved. And what is ultimately the impact of that? Well, of course, it lowers how much the farmer gets because he now has to pay tolls to get to where he wants to the port. But it also causes a shift in delivery points. And just to give everybody some perspective, if you look at Mato Grosso do Sul, to get to the Port of Santos, it costs approximately 50 cents a bushel. To go to the Port of Paranaguá, it costs 44 cents a bushel. Bean deliveries increased in Paranaguá from 66% in August to 100% out of Mato Grosso do Sul by October. This could be an infrastructure nightmare. Now, if you look at Mato Grosso itself, Mato Grosso is over two times further away from the ports as what Mato Grosso do Sul is, and so you could be looking at costs of a dollar or more per bushel in tolls to get anywhere, and to go to Paranaguá would still be the port of choice. So this could just be an ugly situation in general. And then you add to that their early yields on their 90 to 100 day beans down there are coming in at an average of 47.8 bushels. Normally they average about 40. So, you know, if you look at the size of the crop that we're already, estimating for Brazil, which is 90 million metric tons, that could actually be going up if we continue to see this type of yield as they get further into the crop. The other questionable news, and this is news that isn't good for us for beans in general, is that in new crop, Mato Grosso has only sold 48% of their beans. Last year they had 67% of their beans sold, too. So, you know, they've more or less taken the same position that so many of our guys here in the U.S. have taken. And so that's never a good thing, let's put it that way.
Do you suppose this is all going to put, no matter what happens on Friday, but this will put some real pressure on the marketplace for soybeans in, February, March, April time frame?
Well, you certainly would expect that to be the case, yes. Everything depends. If everybody's delivering to Paranaguá and not very many are delivering to Santos, then there will be problems with them being able to get everything shipped, you know, and as many beans coming out as they'd like to. So it's hard to say, but I do think the perspective, and again, we talked about this, perception is what the market is all about. The perception is those beans will come to market at some time. And I do think that is going to make it very tough for us.
So really what you're saying is the change in the tolls and which direction the beans are headed, you've got a wall of beans that are developing, at least at this point, in South America, in Brazil. They may be going to a different port that would cause some problems both in cost, economics, and because the port may not be capable of handling that many beans.
Right, and their biggest problem down there, of course, is that they just don't have any way to hold their beans. You know, they need to get those beans moved it doesn't work. If they had the ability to store like we do, then I would say that they would probably be sitting on their beans waiting for a higher price, you know, and that would be the logical thing. You know, if you know it's going to cost you a dollar bushel or more to do that, you're going to try and force it to a point where the market's going to go higher. But in their particular case, sitting on them is not really a choice. And then you look at Argentina. Oh, Argentina is just a mess. Their government says they've got 10% inflation. Privates are saying it's more like 26%. I would venture to believe that that's more the truth because they just fixed the prices at 194 supermarkets this year for a one-year period on January 1st. So no prices in the supermarkets can go up for the next year. I think we can expect to see union strikes down there. Their cash reserves are way down. There's just no money there for any kind of raise. And I'm going to back that up by saying they're proposing right now, and I believe this will go through, a 0.5% profit export tax on companies. So if you're a company down there and you're making a profit, they're going to put a 0.5% export profit on your tax on your company. And, you know, that's likely to move over to the farmer down there who's already paying 35% for an export tax on beans and corn both. So Argentina is really, it's a questionable situation. Now, that in itself, you know, they too are going to have a bigger bean crop, may help us. Their port strikes have helped us in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But I would never bet my farm or my profitability on that.
Jackie, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Hey,
good to be back.
Good to have you back. That's Jackie Vakes. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Department of Energy's National Renewable Energy Laboratory has found an enzyme that is twice as efficient as other enzymes currently used to break down biomass used by cellulosic ethanol producers. NREL says that the enzyme has the potential to make cellulosic biofuels more cost competitive with corn-based ethanol. The NREL discovery also comes at a time when the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is considering an overall cut to the 2014 biofuel volumes in the Renewable Fuel Standard. Researchers say if used for commercial cellulosic ethanol production, the enzyme has the potential to help the industry scale up production closer to the volumes current corn ethanol plants produce, to between 50 and 100 million gallons per year. Farm groups are asking congressional leaders negotiating a new farm bill to get rid of any chance USDA could start imposing a fee for technical conservation assistance. The fee is estimated to save USDA $39 million over 10 years. According to the legislation, the fee must be reasonable and appropriate, but may not exceed $150 per conservation plan. The budget language was structured in a way that it could mean that any farmer would have to pay an upfront fee to develop a plan with NRCS to enroll in programs such as the Conservation Stewardship Program. A report from the International Trade Commission says that unilaterally removing all current U.S. import barriers on cheese, sugar, canned tuna, textiles, and apparel in certain high-tariff manufacturing sectors would result in expanded exports and imports of about $6.2 billion a year. The report notes that among agricultural products, the most restrictive restraints are currently applied to sugar. Monsanto reported better than expected first quarter earnings today on higher sales of the company's insect repelling and herbicide-resistant soybean seeds in Latin America. The St. Louis-based company said it earned $368 million, or 69 cents per share, in the 3 months ending on November 30th. That compares to earnings of $339 million, or 63 cents a share, in last year's quarter. Revenue climbed 7% to $3.1 billion, driven by sales of its Intacta soybean seeds to farmers in Argentina and Brazil. The biotech-engineered soybean is the company's first product designed for a non-U.S. market. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media's Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program will post to our website probably by about 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon. Of course, it is USDA Report Day. Our guest this week on Commodity Week, Daryl Good. If you listen to our home station, you'll be able to hear it live on the radio at 2:36 in the afternoon. Daryl Good is our guest. Mike Zuzulo will be on the panel along with Dale Durkles and the third person. I have to think about this for a moment because it's been a while since I looked at it. Oh, yes, the third person is from Morton, Illinois, and Blue Reef Agri-Marketing, Chip Nellinger. Now, on the phone line at this time to take a look at the cash grain market is Scott Butcher. He's at the Anderson's Grain Elevator, their Climbers facility. It's in Logansport, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Scott. Thanks for being with us. Tell me just a bit about how the basis has been reacting this week to the storm that moved across the Midwest.
Yeah, we've definitely seen, you know, the processor in our area, especially as you get closer to Lafayette, some of those folks are running a little bit tight on supplies, you know, with not being able to take anything Monday and Tuesday. So we saw basis strengthen up in that area, you know, considerably over the last couple of days. So feels like, you know, that's probably a short-term thing that's, you know, going to get itself taken care of here. And maybe next week we get back to a little bit more normalcy.
Yeah, so you didn't have many people thinking about moving grain. Will they move grain on these few days where things really begin to melt? Because it goes from hard and hard to get around and cold to just plain old sloppy.
Yeah, it doesn't really feel like there will be much more new activity. I think you had a sector of guys that were looking to move something anyway around this time of year just to get some movement. You know, other than that, with the lower cash price and you know, not a lot of you know, real need to be moving anything right now, it's definitely going to be slow.
What's the view on the break in today's CME Group or Chicago Board of Trade numbers?
Yeah, I really, you know, I don't have a real good handle on why the futures market was lower the way it was today, other than, you know, I suspicion a little bit of just ahead of the report here, some folks are trying to get in position for that.
Are beans available in your area?
I think they are, yeah. It's it doesn't really seem to be, you know, on everybody's mind right now. Moving beans doesn't really, it seems like maybe there's a little bit more corn movement right now or talk of corn movement. So, you know, maybe beans have, bean movement has been heavy, obviously, over the last, you know, month and a half, 2 months or since harvest wrapped up. So I think it's, you know, definitely going to slow down a little bit here for a while.
Can I switch topics with you just for a bit? Because U.S. EPA is soon to finish their consideration of changing the RFS. Have you had discussions there about what that might mean for the plant, if anything at all?
Yeah, I know we're definitely, you know, on everybody's mind, you know, what those changes are going to do and, you know, if it's going to affect us or not. But, you know, I think that there's still a lot of uncertainty and, you know, and in our, I guess, our, you know, short-term outlook here, we really don't have a good idea of, you know, what it's going to do to the marketplace. I think most folks are still thinking that, you know, they're going to produce as much as they can, you know, as long as margins dictate that.
All right. Thanks much. What are your bids for the day?
Right now, cash corn, we would be 409, soybeans 1281.
Thanks so much.
Sure.
Scott Butcher is with the Anderson's Climbers facility. He's actually in Logansport at the Grain Elevator. Joins us here on the closing market report for this Wednesday afternoon.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. Just a couple of things. Please do visit our website at willag.org. On the 24th day of January, you'll find on the website at least our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event. It's a really good event, a scholarship fundraiser for the College of Vases. And if you'd like to come, you're welcome. It's $100 a plate. We'd love to have you there. It's, we hope, a signature premier event for the College of Vases, and we'd like to have you on board with us. That is the 24th of January. You can find the details at willag.org. That's willag.org, or just give me a call. My phone number, 217-333-9697. That's 333-9697. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City about the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National English Toffee Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1800, the first soup kitchens in London were opened to serve the poor. In 1823, Alfred Wallace was born. Wallace was a British naturalist who developed a theory of natural selection independently of Charles Darwin. In 1825, Eli Whitney died. Inventor of the cotton gin, he also developed the concept of mass-producing interchangeable parts. Whitney introduced the idea into the manufacture of muskets for the U.S. government. In 1956, Greenleaf Pickard died. a U.S. electrical engineer, his invention of the crystal detector was one of the first devices widely used for receiving radio broadcasts. In 1997, Melvin Calvin died, an American biochemist. He was one of a team that used carbon-14 isotopes as a tracer to map the complete route that carbon travels through a plant during photosynthesis, starting with the absorption of atmospheric carbon dioxide to its conversion into carbohydrates and other organic compounds. The Calvin group showed that sunlight acts on the chlorophyll in a plant to fuel the manufacturing of organic compounds rather than on carbon dioxide, as was previously believed. And in 1998, Walter E. Dimer died, an American businessman. He accidentally invented bubble gum in 1928 while experimenting with recipes for a chewing gum base. By the way, the very first batch was pink, the color that remains to this day. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City is with us. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather forecast for the Midwest to begin with.
Well, it's finally going to warm up a bit. That's probably the greatest news anybody can hear, I guess. We do have a little bit of a concern, though, for late this week as a new storm system forms off to the southwest. And will be coming across the heart of the lower eastern Midwest, bringing widespread rain with it. We'll likely see Friday and Saturday to be the wetter period of time. We may pick up on 0.4 inch to as much as an inch and a half of rain across portions of Illinois, eastern Missouri, Indiana, Ohio, all these same areas that are still dealing with a great amount of snow on the ground. Of course, the ground is saturated beneath the snow, so even with the melting snow and the rain that's going to be occurring, there's no place for this moisture to go. And it's just going to end up pooling across parts of the region, running off into some rivers and streams, causing some localized flooding possibly. We may actually see some ice jamming occurring on parts of the middle Mississippi and portions of the Illinois River, and that too will contribute to some localized flooding as we move forward over the coming week. This is the only storm, though, that's on the charts for right now that's large enough to be an issue for most of us. We will see next week's weather quite a bit quieter and warmer. We will see no more extreme cold, at least for the next 10 days.
That is good news indeed. If you turn your attention to South America, they have been suffering through some mighty hot temperatures in Argentina.
That's right, and they did see some short-term relief, and then it got hot again. Now we've got a storm system that's on the charts, and we'll be bringing another round of relief. It looks to me like some of the southwestern corn and soybean production areas in Argentina will miss the storm system that's expected to occur here really anytime between late tonight and Saturday. During that time period, scattered showers and thunderstorms will occur in quite a few areas, but I don't think the southwest will do very well. By the southwest, I'm kind of talking about the northwestern part of Buenos Aires and immediate neighboring border provinces. And those areas really didn't do very well with last week's rain either. And I think we're going to see an increase in stress as we move deeper into the month, perhaps, but only for a small portion of their crop. Most of the rain that fell last week and the rain that will occur over the next couple of days will benefit a bigger portion of the crop. So it's only a small region that's probably going to get missed or disappointing rainfall at best. But the overall situation is really not too bad. Now, in Brazil, it's almost ideal. There is a considerable amount of chatter in the marketplace right now about worry over too much rain while the early harvest is getting underway. But in reality, these Brazilian producers are amazing. They seem to harvest under the worst conditions. And I don't think it's wet enough to really stop the fieldwork potential. So even though we're worried about it, it may turn out to be not much of a worry at all.
Other places around the planet we should be concerned about, Australia in particular?
Yes, Australia seems to be having a dryness issue once again. You know, last few weeks it's been awfully hot and dry, and many of the summer crops that are not irrigated either were not planted or have done very poorly. We're a little bit worried right now about the prospects for maybe an El Nino in the summer of 2014, and if that happens, we could see an expansion of drought on into their winter crop season, and that would be an even bigger blow to their economy.
Thanks so much, Drew. Drew Lerner, of course, is with World Weather Incorporated and wraps up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.